Keep It Locked for Border 04, an audio tour of Europe's eastern edge. Stories and sounds of the unstoppable movement of people across the borders of Serbia, Romania, and the Ukraine. Of campaigns for legalization, workers' rights, and freedom in the midst of countries ravaged by 15 years of structural adjustment and war. CKLN was there, and we're bringing it to you for the next half hour. It was 15 years ago that the Berlin Wall fell, opening up a new era in Eastern Europe. Before the year was over, 1989, socialist governments had collapsed throughout the region. And by 1991, the Soviet Union itself was gone, no more, and the many republics within it going their own ways as a market economy was set to gradually replace the centrally planned economies of the previous 70 years, with, of course, strong Western influence. Most socialist governments gave up power without firing a shot on their own citizens, despite claims that they were very authoritarian. Romania was one exception, where Nicolae Ceausescu set military forces against protesters in the Western Romanian city of Timișoara. He was quickly defeated by an armed uprising and executed. The Federation of Yugoslavia hung on until 1989, when NATO bombing destroyed the last socialist state in Europe. 15 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, this year saw the Eastern European states of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia, and Slovenia joining the European Union, along with Cyprus and Malta. Now they're entering the EU on an unequal footing compared to their Western partners, while citizens of the original EU states can work and travel without restriction in all the other EU countries, citizens of the new member states won't have those rights for several years, and high employment and low wages in the East promote large-scale migration from East to West. This summer, researchers and activists from Western Europe, from Australia and Canada, traveled along the new Eastern European borders to learn more about how people are living, working, and moving across those borders. In this series of programs, I'm sharing some of the stories we heard and the streams that we followed as we tried to learn about the economic and social landscape of the lands that we passed through. And in no way am I claiming to offer a comprehensive picture, but in the next 25 minutes, I'm going to be playing pieces from three interviews with people living and working in the midst of the social and economic turmoil of Serbia, Romania, and the Ukraine, three nations just outside the new European Union border.
People from the north of the country, from Vojvodina, they're occupying their factory for 6 months. So it's the factory of the medicaments. She said there was a slavery, then there was a socialism that nobody likes, but then now we're again in slavery.
Unemployment in the former Yugoslavia has steadily increased in the past several years, with 1 million people looking for work. A recent survey put fear of poverty and unemployment at the top of the list of concerns for people in Serbia and Montenegro. According to UNICEF, years of conflict and international isolation have left the government with huge challenges in coping with its social caseload. Household poverty has been increasing and family support systems have been under extreme pressure. Meanwhile, the government is determined to continue the privatization of state-owned companies, which virtually guarantees heavy layoffs. Andrei Grbacic is a professor of history. He's an activist and a writer for, among other things, ZNet in the United States. He was an organizer of the Anti-Capitalist People's Global Action Conference, PGA, in Belgrade this past summer, July 2004. At the conference, workers fighting privatization in 13 different factories came together for the first time.
You know, we have now, and many people find this to be outright bizarre and almost impossible, but we really have now a Ministry for Privatization. The whole process of privatization is being quite funny in a way, you know. It's not multinational corporations that are coming inside, but local oligarchs. And it started in times of Milosevic and it continued in times of neoliberal government. But it's not multinational corporations, with the exception of U.S. Steel, who is here, but it's mostly domestic oligarchs. And that's the funny part about Yugoslav privatization.
And we're talking industry, services.
We're talking about industry, services, everything, pharmaceutical industry, really everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except water. Water is still free, and public services.
Public services being
buses, public transport, and stuff like this. Electricity and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like South Africa still, or it's not, but it's really, really, really difficult. And privatization is completely, I mean, it's like complete theft. It's like, and the privatization is by definition a theft, a robbery. But this, the way that it is being done in Yugoslavia, it's really, or in post-Yugoslavia, it's really incredible.
In attendance at that conference, the People's Global Action Conference, were dozens of workers from the Yugo Remedia plant north of Belgrade. Their story illustrates the cost of the massive privatization inflicted on the peoples of Serbia. Their plant, which manufactures pharmaceutical products, was sold to a private firm in 2002. The plant's now occupied by the workers after a strike in late 2003 turned into a confrontation between the workers and private security.
Šta ćete reći kako je počelo to u fabrici da se dešava to stanje? Znači, kriza.
Kriza. Pa počelo je tako što posloda, ovaj gazda koji nas je kupio nije poštovao kolektivni ugovor.
E sada samo moment. The boss, the man that bought that factory did not recognize
the
collective agreement about the work.
Posle dobijenih ovih upozorenja pred otkaz, mi smo započeli štrajk za novu godinu.
After the frightening that they will be expelled from work, those 180 people, they began with the strike.
Koliko je trajao 11 dana?
Koji je trajao, naravno, 12 dana. Mi smo spavali na pločicama i branili smo fabriku kako smo umeli.
On the floors, and they were defending the factory, and they were defending the factory all, in all the ways they knew.
They were sleeping there, eating, and do every...
Yes, for 12 days.
Da bi
oni preuzeli vlast, pozvali su privatno obezbeđenje koje nas je...
Because they wanted to take over the power, to take power over the factory, over the company, they called private security.
Oni su želeli da nas izbace napolje. Međutim, napravljen je kompromis i fabrika je ponovo počela da radi.
They wanted to expel them from the factory from where they were lying all those 12 days and the compromise was reached.
Pa napravljen je kompromis, počeli smo kasnije da radimo, dok drugi put ponovo nije obezbeđenje dovedeno da nas izbaci van iz fabrike.
When compromise was reached, the producing process carried on until the second time that same private security came with the same dogs to expel them from the factory.
E, kada su radnici ponovo bili na ulici, a security u fabriku, nismo više želeli da pregovaramo.
When all the workers were outside on the street and the private security was inside the factory, all the workers did not want to negotiate anymore.
Uz podršku drugih sindikata iz drugih preduzeća, mi smo
upali u fabriku.
Mi smo doveli buldožer da bi nasilno ušli unutra na našu teritoriju, to je naše.
These people, these 180 people, they were helped by some other syndicate people from other factories, and they brought a bulldozer, and they broke the door.
Kada su videli buldožer, otvorili su nam vrata i mi smo ušli unutra i borili smo se prsa u prsa sa njima.
When they saw the bulldozer, the security, it was nothing left to do, and they opened the doors of the factory. And when these women and the other of the total 180, they were kicking the man and not the women.
Three women on one man.
Yes.
Bila je jako žestoka borba. Bila, žene su se tukle kao muškarci.
It was a very interesting fight. The women were fighting with men and
They were
na kraju krajeva oni su izvukli deblji kraj, ali malo smo batina dobili mi.
They were kicked out at last and at the end and they took some of the kicking, but the bosses of the factory, they will remember that.
Privatization in Serbia has been marked by charges of corruption as Yugoslavia's publicly owned assets have been sold off to the enrichment of a small business class. It's great cost to the workers. Many of them have worked all their lives for one company. In the case of the Yugora Media sale being discussed earlier, it's being challenged by the courts.
Da, on je krivično, on se krivično goni za 7 miliona.
The principal, the director of the firm is criminally prosecuted.
A njegov finansijski, Zlatko Marković, na 4 miliona evra.
And his financial director, the other from the manager team, for 4 million euros.
Čekamo presudu.
We're waiting for the judgment of the trade court here in Belgrade. And they're expecting that they will be in favor in that judgment.
What's the situation right now?
Kakva je situacija sad?
Pa ništa mi ne radimo, hoćemo da radimo.
We are not working right now.
Direktor sa svojim nezavisnim sindikatom neće da uđe.
The director of the factory does not want to engage the producing process, but they want to work. They want to work to produce.
Čekamo odluku trgovinskog suda.
I dalje dežuramo, dalje smo u fabrici svaki dan.
We are guarding the factory.
Te radim kad se fabrika otvori, jel? Da. Mi ćemo i sutra, ako treba, odmah da radimo.
We will work even tomorrow.
Samo prvo uradimo inventar i onda krećemo sa radom.
When we'll fix the inventory inside.
And ne znamo šta je bilo među vremenu, pošto on bio jedno 6-7 sati u fabrici, ne znamo šta se desilo.
Because we don't know what happened for... What was the director and the financial director stolen from the factory because he was for 6 or 7 hours inside the factory? We are very, very scared for letting them to enter into the factory because they will take. We are afraid that they will take everything from us.
And even today,
there is a group of people that is guarding the factory from inside, from 6 to 2 p.m., from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and one group all the time, 24 hours, 7 times a day. That's all. We are not giving the factory, it's ours.
30 godina radi.
She is working for 30 years in that factory.
When she
was young, she entered there in that factory, and she wants to get pension from that factory.
Those were workers of the Yugora Media pharmaceutical plant north of Belgrade in the former Yugoslavia, describing their struggle against the privatization and possible closure of their plant. As far as I know, they are still occupying that plant. That interview was conducted in July of this year at the People's Global Action Conference in Belgrade, and where we were lucky enough to meet these courageous women and the men as well working in that plant. We're going to go to a short musical break now, some music from the PGA conference.
I met her in a cafe in Bucharest. I thought that she was from old friends. But her hair shined like the rainbow. She had darling tattoos on her breast. Well, she smiled and seemed fit to me, and my heart beat fast as she gave me. Asked of me, I felt the fear was stormy and then shoulders of her on her, but now she collected away from her. But in the end, it's not how I'm going to live. Oh, to prove my love, I gave her a drum of a tiny motion. She ring bell, she got through. Oh, to know when I'm in a time, I'm asleep, and can I kiss the man? Spinning ring on wheel, I'll hit on me. Radiates, I've seen like it. I am a steep, a heart with a ball of water. Now together we have a dream, we'll let that stay in the dream.
My Lord, what is it? When I'm now there, they need to know. Friends,
even poorer than Serbia is the neighboring country of Romania, according to UNICEF's 2004 report. Romanian, quote, Romanian families are significantly affected by the generalized crisis exemplified by economic hardship, lack of material resources for families with many children, inflation, and unemployment. After more than 13 years of transition in Romania, the gross domestic product and real wages are still less than their 1989 levels. Only 60% of the population aged between 16 and 59 years of age are employed. As a result, 30% of the population lives in poverty, unquote. Margareta Lelia is a student from the United States. She's living in Romania, and she's studying the survival strategies of Romanian women. Got to speak with her in Timișoara, the largest city in the country on the western side, outside of Bucharest. The average wage in Romania is 100 euros a month. That's about 160 Canadian dollars. The minimum wage is 70 euros a month. Margareta tries to draw a picture of what it means to live on 70 euros a month in rural Romania.
In one village in the north of Romania, I met a woman who was working in a small market in the city, and she was earning a minimum wage salary, 70 euros at that time. She was the only income earner in her family, and so she was happy to be getting a wage because they were able to meet their expenses somewhat more easily. But that income really didn't go very far when you looked at it. Of the 70 euros, she was spending about 20 euros on transportation, leaving her with 50 euros for the rest of her expenses, of which another 20 euros went to pay her electricity bill. And then with the rest of the 25 euros she had left from her monthly salary, she had to buy shoes for her children, buy things like salt and coffee that they couldn't produce because they also were producing food and they were using horses in their small agricultural production. Considering that the ways that people live off of the small salaries, they don't go very far because the prices here are becoming increasingly higher, and the price increases are actually part of trying to become ready for European Union accession, and that's part of it. And migration plays into it as well, because if you're living off of $100 a month and you would like to have a car because you need to go visit your grandmother who's far away in a village which is more accessed with more difficulty by train, for example, working abroad is something that someone might do to get the currency that would enable them to make a bigger purchase, because when you're living on $100 a month, you can't save money to buy a car, to do your dental work, to do all of those bigger expenses.
The traditional economy of the area is based in agriculture, but it's being totally disrupted by changes in the global market and the lack of protection for small farmers from those changes. Western multinational corporations are taking advantage of the weakness of the Romanian economy.
Even though over half of the population is involved in agricultural work, this type of identity is being threatened by the new global economy and the way the traditional patterns of agriculture merge with it. Because, for example, with hogs, people who traditionally have raised 4 pigs and kept 2 for family consumption and sold the other 2 no longer find it profitable to do so, because the current price of corn on the global market is higher than the cost of the pigs, or eventually, like, the way it comes out if you feed the corn to the hogs. And so then the livelihood strategies have to change in reaction to this. They have to find other ways. I was in a village where the people said that if they weren't able to go to Hungary and work, that they wouldn't be able to survive off of the agriculture in their village, that they really were becoming increasingly dependent on going and working abroad or working in a factory that is located on this level. In another village, a woman said that if it weren't for the factories in the nearby city, the young people wouldn't stay in the village at all anymore.
What are some of the companies that are setting up in this border region?
Most of the factories are on a subcontractor basis, and then they're doing work for anything from Philips to Sony to Bosch, textiles, all sorts of brand names, going to Italy, going to Germany, subcontracting all sorts of things from lingerie to sports jackets, everything. Some of the factories are located in the more rural areas, and some of them are located in the cities. And in the rural areas, they have more of a captive labor force than they do in the cities, because the people in the rural areas perceive themselves to have even fewer options.
And some of these plants are located in free trade zones. Like, how has that been set up?
There are two free trade zones in Romania. There used to be six, but the government actually pays for the development of these zones. And so they've decided to concentrate their efforts on two. One on the Constanța Black Sea area on the eastern side of the country, and the other here on the western side of the country at Curtici Arad. And the reason that it's expensive is because they have to pay for the sewage and the roads and everything. Then the Romanian government actually makes flyers and brochures to attract foreign investors, which advertise the cheap labor, which advertise the lack of profit tax. So right here it lists off in the brochure from the Curtici Arad Free Trade Zone. It says, main advantages, well-educated and inexpensive labor force, best quality price ratio for raw materials, possibility to transfer capital and profit abroad, investments guaranteed. So that's part of the way the Romanian government is articulating itself towards investors. Interestingly, they're not able to bring as many companies as they had wanted to bring.
Romania joined NATO this year, and it hopes to join the European Union in 2007. I asked Margareta how Romanians feel about getting involved with these powerful Western institutions.
Romania's kind of like in World War II, where they played both sides in the war. Right now, Romania is playing both sides in terms of the U.S. and Europe. Entering NATO is part of that. So they entered NATO. There are American troops in Constanța, I think over 6,000 troops based over there. There are Romanian troops who were in Iraq. So Romania was one of the countries to support the U.S. in the war efforts, even when Europe was against it. Romania accepted genetically modified organisms, Monsanto seeds, to be sold here and distributed here, despite the World Trade Organization lawsuit with the U.S. and the European Union over the rights to sell these types of seeds in the EU. So a lot of the politics aren't always pro-EU, although on the other hand, they're playing the pro-EU politics, trying to get in by 2007, which is less and less likely. People view these changes of being in NATO and being in the EU as a way of raising their standard of living. So when people express a desire to be in both of these organizations, it has more to do with the information that they have that makes these institutions symbols of becoming like the West, becoming what their myth of the West is.
While Romania is oriented towards the West, the neighboring Ukraine retains more ties to Russia and other former Soviet states. A country of 50 million people, encompassing more territory than the largest European country, and with abundant natural resources, the Ukraine should be wealthy, but its people are impoverished. According to UNICEF, in 2003, the living standards of the vast majority of the population continued to decline. Inequality continues to rise, and poverty is at significant levels, particularly among families with children or single-parent families. Unemployment remains high. The economic decline is widely believed to be a primary reason for the decline in fertility and a reduction in the size of the population over the last decade. In the western border state of Transcarpathia, we were told that 40% of the working-aged population is outside of the country at any given time. They're working on construction sites in Moscow, Berlin, or Lisbon, or in Canada. And in fact, Toronto is one of the largest Ukrainian cities in the world. In this program, I've tried to illustrate some of the huge economic pressures that people in Serbia, Romania, and the Ukraine are living under. And in the next program in this series, to be aired next week, I'll be bringing some insights about how people are crossing the borders to find work and a better life. You've been listening to Border 04. It's an audio tour of Europe's eastern edges. If you've got any feedback on what you've heard, we'd love to hear from you at 416-595-5068. These programs are going to be uploaded to the internet, so check us out at www.ckln.fm for the link. Thanks for listening.